Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
That's going to be in your head all day, Chad. Chad Andrus.
No question.
That is Chad Andrus. What? I am Matt Smith here on 104.3 The Fan on Thanksgiving morning.
I'm here to tell you right now, let's not make no bones about it, my musical talent is listening. It's not singing or playing any instruments.
Me neither. So. I really respect people who can sing, who really can sing. That is a really cool talent. That's a special gift to have, but that is not one that I have.
I love music, right? I'm kind of the anti-Dan Jacobs, right? Only person in my life I've ever met who hates music. He's like the Grinch of music.
How do you hate music?
I don't know.
Music gets you through, man.
I love music. I'm a music aficionado, especially good songs. Songwriting, I love it.
Well, if you want good songwriting, oh my, get that turkey in my belly. With the cranberry jelly. I mean, that is, it doesn't get better than that. I am also, if you're an aficionado, then you can appreciate a good comedic song, a good parody song.
I'm not going to go there. Never mind.
Okay.
I'll tell you off the air about a song that has been mistaken for a parody in the last week.
By the way,
it's so bad.
It was
mistaken for a parody, and Weird Al had to come out and make a statement.
No, I know what
people thought
now,
it was him.
Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah. No. I'm aware. I am aware. By the way, do you know who finally signed on the dotted line? Finally signed. After a 49-0 drubbing in the first half last week by Ohio State, Mel Tucker finally signs his 10-year, $95 million deal.
All right. There's not a lot of college football talk on this station, right?
$95 million after a 49-0 half.
We're going to make an exception. And we'll do this a little bit later, right? We're going all the way to 10 o'clock today. We got plenty of time. We'll get into Mel Tucker and that matchup with James Franklin, and one side's going to be really upset and disappointed, especially if it's Michigan State after cutting those checks this week. But college football playoff talk, we'll jump into that because I know you're a big college football guy as well. You asked me a question before the top of the hour regarding the Broncos' quarterback future, right? Which is it's been a constant discussion. I don't think we've stopped talking about it since Peyton Manning retired. To be honest with you, we probably haven't stopped talking about it since Peyton Manning actually was hurt midway through his last season in Denver.
Right.
What is the future going to hold? And,
you know, I actually ran into Brock Osweiler like 4 years after that in Arizona at a hotel. He was checking in. I think it was New Year's. And I went up to him. I said, "Lobster, you helped bring a Super Bowl to Denver, pal." Because he did.
What was his reaction? He flashed a ring at you?
No, he was... I think he was a little like, you know, I mean, if you're like notoriable, you know, notable in public and somebody comes up to you and says, "Lobster," I think it's kind of a gamble. It's a coin flip on how it could go from there. But no, you know, and he was ostracized.
Oh, that's bad.
I know, isn't it? So I think he was just like, "Oh no, is this good or bad? Is this good or bad?" But hey, he helped bring them to a Super Bowl.
I'm sure
along
you got
the
people,
way.
I'm sure you got people out there that wish he would be an option for next year at this point, right? You know, get your Brock on. The reason it's been a topic of discussion is not only because they've just been so bad, and in modern football, really at any level, you can't win without a quarterback. And there's 10 to 12 teams in the league that have one that they can take a shot with and they can go for it. And then there's
that number's getting bigger Oh, that can actually take a shot with?
Right.
That can actually contend
You can go for it. You can make moves with the expectation of you could get hot in the playoffs and you could go to or win a Super Bowl. There's 10 to 12 teams that can do that.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Russell Wilson, despite how bad the Seahawks are this year, right? There's, you know, one coming in, honestly, Sunday, and Justin Herbert, right? If you have Justin Herbert, you're set. You don't have to be looking, right? And that's the reason that we've been talking about this for now going into year number five, right?
Right.
Because the Broncos don't have that guy. Teddy Bridgewater's obviously not that guy. If you think he is, sorry to break it to you, you're mistaken. I like Teddy Bridgewater. By all accounts, he is a consummate professional. Right. He does everything within his power, outside of making a tackle,
right.
to help this team and to even help Drew Lock in the quarterback room. Right? I don't get any bad mouthing of Teddy Bridgewater. He is what he is. He is what he's capable of being post injury in Minnesota. Right? So, like, he's doing what you could reasonably expect of him to do. But the thing with that is that's not enough to get into that group of 10 or 12. So you have to put yourself into that group, especially when you see Justin Herbert in your division coming in on Sunday. He's a real deal, guys. Like, I don't know what you think about the Chargers. I don't know if you're still living in the Anthony Lynn days or saying Brandon Staley's just a carbon copy. They're going to blow games. They're going to choke late. You watched them barely squeak out against the Steelers. Like, you can have your opinions about the Chargers. You can throw all your AFC West hate on them, you know, that you want to. Don't throw it at Justin Herbert. He is top-tier quarterback, and he will be elite-level quarterback in this league for a long time. He's absolutely fantastic, and he's a problem going forward along with Patrick Mahomes in this division. So going back to the question you asked me before the top of the hour, as we led into it, was extending Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton the right decision before you had a quarterback? Yes, it was, because you have to lure a quarterback. A quarterback is not coming to you in the draft, period. You cannot count on it. You cannot rely on it. The top of the draft is extremely thin, and there's not a lot of options there. And then it gets worse. So regardless of all your 11 picks or whatever it may be, regardless of all of your cap room and your maneuverability, don't look to the draft as an answer for your quarterback problems if you want to win. George Payton gave this roster and Vic Fangio the benefit of the doubt for 1 year. He came in.
He came here for Vic Fangio.
No.
Didn't you hear him? Didn't you hear him?
Okay.
Vic Fangio was one of the reasons he came here.
Okay, sure. I'll buy that. Mm-hmm. I'll buy that. He gave a one-year window, and he gave Vic Fangio the roster that allowed him to play the style he wants to play and a chance to win. He gave him the benefit of the doubt. By doing that, and I know they're 5-5, I know they're still in it, and look, they're probably going to beat the Chargers this week and then lose to Kansas City and be 6-6 just to drag out this misery and this agony of illusion that they're still in it, right? they're going to do that to us. So he gave them a one-year window to see if Fangio could make it work the way he wants to make it work. It's not. It's not working. It's not going to work. I hate to break it to you. Even if they beat the Chargers, or if they split with the Chargers in Kansas City and they're 6-6, and mathematically they're still alive, look, it's not working. We all know it's not working. Look at the way they play. They are not a team that is going to contend to play for a conference title or a Super Bowl. So George Payton will have to start the rebuild 1 year later than his hire date. He gave him the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't work. Now he's got to reconfigure this team. Because he already sacrificed 1 year, he can't afford to go and gamble on draft picks that more often than not will not work at the quarterback position. He's going to make a move with the resources they have. The draft picks, the cap space, they have as much or more flexibility than any team in the league coming into this offseason. he's going to take a big swing. Now, Russell Wilson, I think, is the primary target. The problem with that is Russell Wilson's married to a woman who has an enormous career.
Why is that a problem?
Because Denver is probably not the best for her career.
But when, Seattle? I mean...
Right. So she's going to want out, and Russell Wilson's going to want out, and they're going to fire Pete Carroll.
I don't know about that.
Listen to me on this scenario.
Okay.
I think Russell Wilson is the primary target. I think he should be the primary target, but I don't think he's going to come here because I don't think he and his wife are going to allow that to happen. New York and Miami are going to be their primary choices. So then you're starting to look at Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers.
And I get that. I see your point.
That's going to be the primary path for the Broncos this offseason. We'll get into more of what it means for this weekend for the Broncos coming up next as the Chargers roll into town, because they do have a quarterback they can build around to compete for a championship. Chad Andrus, Matt Smith, Ty is on the board today as we are in for the boys on this Thanksgiving morning on The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Why are turkey eggs a thing, right?
Right.
I've never heard of anyone eating a turkey egg.
You know, now that you bring it up, I've never seen a a dozen grade A turkey eggs.
There was an awesome video that I saw yesterday as I got lost in the wormhole. The largest turkey. What's a group of turkeys called? What is this, a flock?
I would imagine that's flock. Poultry in general.
Okay. A flock of turkeys, if that's wrong, call me out, whatever, I don't care. We're crossing the road.
Oh, and yeah.
The largest of the bunch of the flock stopped in the middle of the road and kind of peacocked its feathers out, like spread the feathers out like a little kid would make in class, right, in elementary school. So traffic would stop on both directions of the road, so the rest of the turkeys could cross. It was like a crossing guard.
Of course.
And then when all the turkeys got across, it fell in line behind and finished so traffic could resume. It was awesome.
One time in high school, God, this was years ago, used to live up in the mountains and see packs of wild turkeys or a rafter of wild turkeys. That's it. A group of turkeys is called a flock or a rafter, just so you know. More you know.
Learn something
the
new
more
every
you
day.
Know. I was walking out to my car, and I come around the driver's side, right? I come around the back of the car, and I'm just walking around. It's a bunch of snow had just dropped. It was like maybe 8 inches that morning. And I couldn't see the driver's side. And I swear, as I walked around my car, there was a wild turkey right in front of my driver's side door. Like, just sitting there. Those things are mean, man. You don't mess with wild turkeys. Wild turkeys are not nice. So, look, I'm not saying that I was petrified, as the song would have said. But
I've never encountered a wild turkey. I mean, I've had some nice mornings after wild turkey, but I haven't encountered one in that regard.
It's cool. You'll see them up in the mountains, and they're quick, too. They're fast turkeys, really fast, really fast. They're all over the mountains here.
Turkey eggs, never knew. Well, I like...
Yeah, that's true, though. Text us in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Are you eating turkey eggs? Like, do you eat turkey eggs? Is that something
that happens?
The
people who have turkeys do that?
Yeah, I guess that's, there must be eggs.
All right.
It's not like the stork drops off the baby turkeys.
What comes first, the turkey or the egg?
Right.
All right, Chad Andrus, Matt Smith, in on this Thanksgiving morning. Look at that sunrise. Beautiful. I don't see that too often. I'm usually getting the kids ready for school and getting them out the door.
And if you're not doing that today, enjoy that. Yeah. Enjoy not doing that today and just getting a break because life is hard. You know what? Be thankful for this morning. But right. Also, you're probably not all that thankful if you're loading all the kids into the car.
Yeah, right.
On the way to the in-laws.
Yeah, over the river and through the woods, right, to grandmother's house we go.
Indeed.
Is that for Thanksgiving or is that for Christmas? I think it was meant to be Christmas, wasn't it? But
isn't that just like a nursery rhyme?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We'll see what happens when you get old. You forget all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Now everyone can yell at us on the text line and correct us, right?
Right, yeah.
303-713-1043 is the text line number. Let's look at the Sunday game a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get into
today's games momentarily.
By the way, before we do that, can I just say, get Aaron Rodgers' foot out of my face. I'm so sick of seeing this picture with him with his shoe off. Last night I was watching a little Sports Center before bed. I had it on in bed, and he's just, get Aaron Rodgers' foot out of my face while I'm trying to sleep, okay?
Why is he so defensive about the whole COVID toe thing? He's just so defensive about everything now. He's just on edge.
Something else, man. He is something.
What happened
else to,
you know, RELAX guy, right? Now he's on edge about everything.
RELA, say that five times fast. RELAX guy. Jeez, that's too hard. That's a mouthful of marbles. No, that's the same thing. It's a look at me thing. It's the same thing. I mean, I think primarily that was a lot what this summer was about, you know, was kind of trying to create a little bit of drama, you know, a little bit of drama. Anyway, moving on to Broncos Chargers. Be really interesting to see after Herbert played that knockdown drag out at SoFi with Ben and the Steelers. By the way, can we talk about that for a second? Like, are there Chargers fans? Does that exist? Are you a Charger? Can you be a Chargers fan? Like, that stadium was full of terrible towels. Every week, all I see in that stadium is more of the opposing team's fans. Like, I feel bad for them, genuinely. That sucks. Like, that's not a good home environment. It's not.
Ask Melvin Gordon. He didn't want to play there anymore.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he wasn't in. Had they moved to LA by the time they hadn't moved yet, had they? Or were they in that, like, were they playing at the high school stadium?
Yeah, they were playing in the soccer stadium.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, which, by the way, there's a soccer game today here.
Big one, too.
Yeah.
A little later on this morning, we're going to have Stephen Keel joining us, former Colorado Rapids defender, too. Looking forward to that one.
All right. On the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, I've seen wild turkeys physically attack cars up in northern Colorado.
See? That's what I'm saying. They're mean suckers.
Seem to be fearless, but never had turkey eggs. Why would they attack cars? What's fascinating about the cars?
They're just mean SOBs. Like, they're just pissed
attack
off.
Attack whatever's in front
man.
Of them.
Thanks. Exactly,
geese,
Ty.
Says Ty. Geese are mean too, right? My kids have had some close encounters at the park, right? You're looking at the geese. I want to see them, right? I want them to all go in the water. I'm like, okay, don't get too close.
I was attacked by a goose when I was younger. Birds in general, just not a big fan of birds. That's Chad Andrus. I'm Matt Smith. This is 104.3 The Fan. We've got a big slate of Turkey Day football coming up. Well, it's not really that exciting, but it's exciting to you because it's better than a conversation with your Uncle Bill after five buds and a couple of wild turkeys himself. Stick with us.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat.
Shout out Phil Lindsay.
Jig it out. I see you, boy.
Is he excited to be going to Miami? I mean, I thought, like,
he should be.
The Ravens.
You know why? Because he's not a Houston Texan anymore. That is a reason to celebrate right there.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a Dolphin, right? I mean,
sure.
I thought,
you
like,
have to understand.
The Ravens or...
He's in Miami, the 305. Like, he's out of Houston, Texas. That's a win.
Well, yeah.
That is a win.
Anything that gets you out of Houston, Texas is a win.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Football player or not, no question about that. It's the absolute armpit of America. So congrats to Phil Lindsay on that. But I thought, yeah. I mean, is he better off being claimed or would he have been better off getting to pick and choose from a place that could be going to the playoffs?
That's an interesting perspective. Miami, what's interesting about Miami is they've got, you know, Gaskin and Salvan Ahmed, and, you know, they've got a couple guys who are running the football down there. Be interesting to see how they see him fitting into the game plan or if it was more of a depth thing. But listen, Phil's got fresh legs. They barely used him. And when they did in Houston this year, it was horrible. So I'm thrilled for him that he is out of there. He's a great guy. I hated the way that it ended here. Hated the way it ended here. I did. I mean, he did a lot with not a lot here. So anyway, good for him down in Miami. But Broncos this weekend have the Chargers. And it'll be an interesting game because the Broncos are coming off a bye. And this is a divisional game with 2 weeks to prepare. Your opponent is coming in off a short week. This is a game you have to compete in. Bottom line. There is no other way to say it, Chad. This is a game that you have to put your best foot forward and compete in. And I think for a lot of us around here who have questioned this coaching staff so much that it's a great opportunity to see what they're really made of. Because they've had 2 weeks now to game plan, getting guys back healthy. We'll see exactly who. But this is a week you got to go out and compete. You have to go out and compete. And I think you got to... What's really interesting is I was on with Nate Jackson on Monday. And we were talking about, okay, so coming out of the bye week, how do you fix this team, right, Jen? How do you fix this offense that's averaging 17 points a game at home? And here were the ideas that I came up with. I think you got to go more up-tempo. And I think you got to go up-tempo early. It's all about getting that first down. Of course, the coach cliche, right? But it's true. Because you get the first down, you get the ball moving, and you got to air it out. You just paid Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick $90 million. Guess what? In weeks 5 through 7, Cortland Sutton almost had 30 catches for... Or he had 20 catches for 282 yards and 2 touchdowns in weeks 5 through 7. 20 balls, 282 yards, 2 TDs. In weeks 8 through 10, 5 catches for 78 yards. And you just paid the guy a contract worth up to, what, 60 mil? Like, get this guy the football. And you've got a scheme to do it. You've got to hit quick hitters. Where's the bubble screen in this offense? You know, there are things that they can do to better suit this offense around Teddy Bridgewater that we still haven't seen this year. And the play calling, I mean, Nate and I were talking about it. The first 15 script outside of the first 3 games of the season against the Giants and the Jags and the Jets, outside of the Cowboys game, it's been terrible. It's been terrible. Throw the script out. You know what I mean? This is the week where we're going to see what Pat Shurmur really has, because he's got 2 weeks to prepare for this Chargers defense. That's a good defense, but they're not a great defense.
No, they're
by any stretch.
I wouldn't call them even a good defense. They're the worst run defense in football. They're awful. Everybody has run all over them.
Very true. Very true. But they have playmakers on that side of the football. But yes, everybody's running all over them. Now, they've been lucky that Asante Samuel Jr. as a rookie has been so fantastic. At least he was earlier in the year. But they've got guys like Derwin James, they've got a Boza. You know, this is a team that has playmakers on that side of the football, but like you just said, and that was the key, worst rush defense in football. You've got to come out and establish the run, but you don't have to do it huddled. You don't have to do it moving in quicksand. You've got to get up to the line and get the ball moved. This is a short week for LA at altitude.
So you want more possessions. You want to give Justin Herbert more possessions against this team?
Here's what I'm using less clock. Well, at the start, yeah, because what's the point in doing that when you're down 2 touchdowns in the second half? At the start, I absolutely do. Let's see what this Broncos offense can do. You've got to move the football. What, are you going to grind the clock out for 4 quarters? The Broncos haven't proved that they can do that. They haven't. Against Dallas, the reason they won that game is they came out and aired it out. They came out and aired it out. You have to be aggressive. You do. You cannot sit back and try and establish the run. There's ways to establish a run without just destroying any momentum you have offensively.
I think they have to be very careful, right? There is the temptation of the newly minted receivers with their contracts to say, hey, look at these guys that we just rewarded. Let's show them off and show you why we paid them so much money. And I get it. I think they're both worth it, right? And I do think you need to get them the ball. I just think you need to be aware of what you are as a football team at the moment. And what you are as a football team is one that goes two tight ends or sometimes even three tight end sets and runs the football. You're 5-0. When you consistently go three wide or four wide and spread people out and try to chuck it around the field, you're 0-5. So you have to still play to the strengths of your team.
Agreed.
Particularly with a banged-up offensive line that has guys like Quinn Meinerz who are good run blockers but haven't proven to be pass blockers. This is a team where you can get right and feel good off the bye by controlling the time of possession and running the football. And I know it's not fun and exciting and flashy to watch, but if you want to keep me invested, if you want to keep Broncos country invested going to Kansas City, it needs to be at 6-5. And if you don't run the football against the Chargers and control the clock and keep the ball away from Justin Herbert, you're going to be going to Kansas City at 5-6, and I and everyone else are going to be checked out.
See, that's great, but that's assuming that you have a lead. Why are you trying to do that without a lead? The Broncos have to go out and get points early. Like, that's all well and good, but it's going to be really hard to move the football. It just is if you get behind in this game. Because we've seen that all year. You're absolutely right. It's really hard to play spread. You know what I mean? When you're down two scores, it's hard because they're just edge rushers are pinning their ears back. And Teddy's getting just destroyed this year.
You're throwing the ball out of the end zone.
And so what you do is you scheme more screens. You got to find a way to get the ball out against a pass rush. So if you do have a bad offensive line, that's a great way to help your offensive line. So I agree with you that you have to find ways to establish Javonte because that's one thing they haven't done this year. But you don't just have to run the ball on first down. That's what I'm trying to say. At the beginning of the game, you have to find a way to put points on the board and do it early. If you want a chance to win this football game, that's the truth, Chad. That's the truth.
I'm not saying they can't throw. I'm just saying they need to throw from two tight ends or even three tight end sets instead of going four wide.
Look, and I don't necessarily disagree with you there, but the truth is they've got to find a way to mix it up because what they put on tape isn't working. So, yes, but at the same time, I mean, are you trusting Teddy to throw to two guys? I mean, when you do that, you really don't give Teddy many options. That's the thing. And so if you're doing that right away, I don't know. Are you going to get out and jump out to an early lead?
Matt Smith, Chad Andrus with you in for the boys today. It's a big NFL day that we will get into with your Thanksgiving plans next on The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. In this morning for Schlereth and Evans, here's Chad Andrus and Matt Smith.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denver. I am Matt Smith. That is Chad Andrus sitting in for Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans this morning. Boy, it's a beautiful morning now that the sun is up. It was like 28 degrees when I got up this morning. It was chilly. It felt like November for the first time, Chad. Like it really did. It really felt like it's November. We've had a very unseasonably warm winter and an unseasonably dry winter, Chad. It's getting a bit ridiculous at this point, but today, of course, is Thanksgiving. And look, we know that when you're with the in-laws and you've got the entire family over for dinner, you want a little action. You know, you want something to keep your interest, right? You got to sit through dinner conversation about, you know, your niece Jenny's piano recital. And how great she was, and your nephew Bobby was wonderful as Macbeth in the school play this year, but as well and good as that is, you want a little action today. And there's a 3-game slate today. Of course, this morning it is the Chicago Bears, my Bears, against the Detroit Lions in Detroit. That is 10:30 kickoff on Fox this morning. The afternoon game is Raiders at Cowboys, 2:30 on CBS, and at 6:20, the Thanksgiving feast is Buffalo at New Orleans, the Trevor Siemian, Josh Allen vaunted showdown. We've got some really just some great quarterback matchups today, don't we? Trevor Siemian and Josh Allen, Andy Dalton and Jared Goff. It does look like Jared Goff is going to play today. So it'll be really interesting because I was on with Tyler Palumbis a few weeks ago, and I told him that there's going to be one week this year where that rah-rah, bite your kneecaps, you know, that whole 9 yards that Dan Campbell likes to preach there in Detroit is going to get them a win this year. Now, is it going to be on Thanksgiving Day? They have not won on Thanksgiving Day since 2016. So we've got some NFL games this morning. Also, this afternoon, a huge playoff game for the Colorado Rapids here in Denver against the Portland Timbers. And at 8:45, we're going to be talking to Stephen Keel. He is a former Rapids defender. We're going to be breaking that one down. That is a 2:30 kick over there at Dick's Sporting Goods. That is exciting for Denver, by the way, before we really get into what you might be interested in, you know, possibly throwing a couple dollars on here or there. The Rapids game, that's a really, really cool thing that Denver gets to host one on Thanksgiving Day, because that's one of the few events, sporting events, that's really happening today, Chad.
Yeah, and it's maybe our only chance for any kind of a championship the way things are going. All apologies to the Avalanche, who are red hot at the
red line, hot.
Anybody else? Yikes! I'm interested in hearing from anyone who's going out there today and spending their Thanksgiving at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. By the way, if you're going to do that, right? I'm not a huge soccer guy, but I could see how that could change it up a little bit, right? If you're going to go out there and support the Rapids in what is the second round of the MLS Cup playoffs, you can text us and let us know your plans as to how that works in to your Turkey Day. 303-713-1043 on the RamosLaw.com text line.
So we've got NFL today, and we've got MLS today. We also have college basketball on tap today. So if you're looking at the slate today of what you might possibly think about investing in today, those are really your only options because the NBA and the NHL have a day off. There are a few college football games. The Egg Bowl is tonight, of course, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. But let's get into this NFL slate right here. It's interesting, Chad. You know, you've got to have a little bit of little sweetener on some of these games.
You've got to have a lot of sweetener if you're going to watch Chicago-Detroit, man. Come on. Hey, my dad, you know, rest in peace, loved football more than anybody, and he could sit and watch anything. If you gave him a marathon of high school football on TV all day, he would sit and watch it. He loved football. And outside of my dad, I don't know anyone who would proactively just sit and watch the Bears and the Lions for the football element. If you don't have some sort of juice, some sort of action, some sort of fantasy involvement,
right,
with Bears Lions, they suck.
Unless you were back Midwest, but you know, we'll have a chance to see it on Fox. So
the Lions scored 33 points in week one and lost to the 49ers.
Hey,
they haven't scored more than 17 since.
But let me tell you something.
They haven't reached 20, I should say. They have not reached 20 points in 9 straight games.
How many of those games were one score games? That's the thing. That's the thing. You've got to realize the Lions play hard. They almost beat Cleveland in Cleveland last week.
Only 4 of the 9.
Okay. But what I'm saying is
they lost 44-6 to the Eagles.
I'm aware. But they're playing the Bears. Okay? This is Andy Dalton's Bears. This isn't the Justin Field Bears. Although I will tell you, it's the Bears offense is probably going to be better with Andy Dalton. By the way, did you see that rumor that came out this week that Matt Nagy was to be fired finally after the game, and then he came out and denied it? So it's a full clown show. The circus is on at Hallis Hall in Chicago. It is ridiculous. I've wanted Nagy gone for years now. They should have done it 2 years ago, but McCaskey has completely ruined that franchise. I mean, completely. And Ryan Pace needs to go. So does Nagy. They need to hit a reboot completely on what they're doing. So that line was around 3.5 this week. It was hovering around 3.5.
Three this morning.
It moved to 3 this morning, and it's going to be interesting. The over-under set at 41.5. Now, of course, you mentioned Detroit. These are not two teams with dynamic offenses. This is not. These are not two groups that have a lot to offer offensively. Allen Robinson is doubtful to play. I do not think he's going to go for the Bears today, which means Darnell Mooney will be Andy Dalton's primary target today. Marquise Goodwin was a little banged up and limited in practice this week, but he's going to go. Of course, David Montgomery and Cole Kmet there for Andy Dalton to utilize offensively, as exciting as that sounds. And then for Detroit, I mean, look, how many people are starting Khalif Raymond and Amon-Ra St. Brown on their fantasy football teams this weekend? Not too many. Not too many.
Look, this game is borderline unwatchable. If you're going to watch, right, if you have to get away from the family and have some sort of action, I know there's a lot of people that think Detroit's going to get their first win of the season, and because it's the Bears. Andy Dalton's been in this league a long time. He is a competent professional football player, that might be enough to beat the Lions, to be honest with you. I know Jared Goff is back, and it's not Tim Boyle, but last week against the Browns, they had 77 yards passing, right? This team is awful. Awful. If you're going to bet this game today...
Well, first of all, who you got here, and are you taking the points, number one? Who you got to win, and what's your bet here? If you're playing on this
I'm not playing.
You're staying away.
I'm not playing a side because neither can be trusted. All three of the games, the total has dropped this week by about a field goal, and it's down to 41.5 in this one. I don't know that they get there on the total. I would still lean under, even though it's come down from like 44. I would go under on that, but if you're playing today, here's what I would advise. Bet the running backs.
Agreed in
David,
this game.
David
I
Montgomery
really
had a big game earlier against Detroit and went over 100 yards and had a couple of touchdowns, and I think he does it again today. DeAndre Swift against the Browns last week had 136 yards on 14 carries and a touchdown. So if you're going to bet on anything, let's bet on old school, you know, run the football, grind the clock, bet on the running backs to do something because the
so I'll give you,
you can't bet on the quarterbacks.
So
you can't count on them.
I'll give you one there. I like the DeAndre Swift receiving yards props today. I do. I think that is probably Detroit's best option to move the football. TJ Hawkinson will get his share of targets too, especially with Goff back. But I really like DeAndre Swift. I think last night it was 33.5 on the receiving yards. I mean, look, you bust one against Chicago and you're halfway there, right? Or if not all the way there. I was chuckling because the under is 4-1 in the Bears' last 5 games after accumulating more than 250 passing yards in their previous game, just to show you the plight of a Bears fan and the inconsistency in that offense. The under is 5-1 in the last 5 games for the Bears after accumulating more than 250 yards passing, which basically tells me that they can't string anything together for 2 weeks in a row.
All right, anything. So 41.5. If you got a 21-20 game, it's still going under.
Yes.
Sorry, who's betting the over in this game?
See,
who's
now this
betting
is,
the over on these offenses?
This is one of the most popular plays of the day, is under 41.5 in this game.
So it's definitely going over.
Yeah. And so I'll give you,
teams touchdown.
I'll give you the scenario. You got Andy Dalton getting out to a quick start. Maybe the Bears get on the board. They scheme something, get on the board. Detroit maybe does the same thing. You're looking at maybe, 10-7 at halftime. I don't know. I can't even talk myself into the over.
See?
I was trying to. I gave it a shot, man. I really did. But, I mean, unless this game is route with unexpected, you know, turnovers and bad mistakes by either Goff or Dalton, you got to think this game goes under. So if you have to play this one, I'm taking the under 41.5, and I'm also looking at the DeAndre Swift receptions props. I'm looking at TJ Hawkinson receptions props. I'm looking at DeAndre Swift receiving yards. Personally, that's where I'm at today with this one. Outside of that, I think Darnell Mooney, I think it was over 3.5 last night in the receptions props. That's probably worth a look. He got something like 16 targets last week. That's ridiculous in one game.
I will put one disclaimer on this.
Yeah,
right?
Go ahead.
If you bet your mortgage on the under and then you come looking for us, right?
Right.
I will put one disclaimer on this. If the Nagy report is true.
It's not. There's no way.
He goes out guns a-blazing and just pulls out every trick in the book. And,
right.
The Bears score 39, right?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Right. I mean, that's the one disclaimer that could happen. But keep in mind, that report came from a news reporter who does not cover the Bears.
Right.
And the Bears, in their 100-plus year history, have never fired a coach in season. So there's that to go along with. You're listening to KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
The old woman.
This morning, as you get rolling on this Turkey Day.
The old woman needs to go, is what I have to say about the Bears. Okay? So, yeah.
I can tell you the stadium needs to go after being there earlier this season.
Oh, man.
That
don't
place
do this
sucks.
To me. Don't do this
Soldier
to me.
Field sucks.
No, it doesn't.
The beautiful outside facade with the columns on the lake and everything, it looks gorgeous if you're looking from the lake at the stadium. When you're inside the stadium, it's being inside of a toilet bowl.
That place is awful. Come on. That is
there's not enough.
Ground.
There's
That's
not
the
enough.
Monsters of the Midway.
I don't care. It needs to go.
It's going. So you don't have to really make the argument.
The concourse is too narrow. It's always crowded. There's lines at every concession and every bathroom. There's no TVs out on the concourse. You're missing the game when you're out there. That place sucks.
To move the team out of Chicago, out of downtown Chicago,
I don't
would be
care
a crying
where
shame.
You, I don't care where
it's
you
going
play.
To, it's going to Arlington Heights. They just spent $200 million on that piece of property out at the old racetrack at Arlington Heights.
And there's going to be people who lose their mind when the new Broncos owner puts a stadium out by DIA too, and they're not going to be playing in Denver, but that's going to happen. So I'm just telling you, be prepared for it.
So that's Bears Lions. Of course, I'm looking at these live props at the moment. That's probably how I'd play this game. To be 100% honest with you, this is an offense that doesn't have a lot. Both offenses that don't have a lot of options. Rather than go the under, I'm probably looking at props and targets for that one. Otherwise, that's really a stay away. Unless you think this is the game Dan Campbell can get it done and fire those boys up. But I do not think it's going to be. Because like you said, Andy Dalton, they actually looked better with Andy Dalton in the game last week. I'm pretty sure Mooney and Goodwin both had over 100 yards last week or damn near. Raiders.
Eat early. Spend the time with the family during that
Go
game.
Go play the Turkey Bowl. Turkey Bowl during this game because the quality of football in your backyard probably equivalent or maybe better than the quality football in that game.
You're not missing anything. Even if you do sprinkle a little pizza money on any of the props or the line, right? You don't have to watch.
Right.
You're going to know if you win or lose.
Raiders-Cowboys is the afternoon game, and an interesting one because the Raiders are reeling right now and with Rich Bisaccia, and the Cowboys have now moved to a 7.5-point favorite. They were at 7 for the majority of this week. That line is at 51.5. I have seen a lot of sharps that love this line at 51.5. They think that the Raiders are going to score this week. They think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. Of course, Dallas coming off that 19-9 loss in Kansas City. Dallas has lost 2 out of their last 3 after starting, Dallas lost 2 out of their last 3, for sure. And this is going to be an interesting game because I don't understand why the sharps are all over the over here.
Why do they think the Raiders are going to score?
This is maybe the most popular play of the day.
They're 0-3 off of their bye, and they've scored 16, 14, and 13. What makes them think that on a short week they're going to go to Dallas and score?
I'm telling you, that's all you see right now.
Look,
I'm just telling you.
Full disclosure, I had a ticket prior to the season at a really good number that was a combination for the state of Nevada. It was the Nevada Wolfpack and the Raiders, both over 7.5 wins. And Nevada is sitting at 7, and they play at Colorado State Saturday night, and they're favored in that game. The Raiders were 5-2, and they're not going to get to 8 wins.
Yeah.
They're awful. They're going to lose to the Cowboys. It's a toss-up against football team at home. They might win that game. They're going to get hammered by the Chiefs again. They're not going to beat the Browns in Cleveland. The Broncos go there, and after being embarrassed here, I think Denver has a good chance to win that game in Las Vegas at Allegiant. And then they finish with the Colts and the Chargers. I'm telling you, the Raiders right now are going to win maybe one more game.
And I don't disagree.
Awful.
No one's saying take the 7.5. That's not what we're saying, or no one's saying take a money line Raiders play. But it's interesting that the public money on this one is almost 60-40 on the over. That's a pretty solid swing for a Thanksgiving Day game. That might be the biggest swing on any of these games Thanksgiving Day. Which is interesting because Amari Cooper's on the COVID list and CeeDee Lamb almost got knocked out the other day. So Dallas will be shorthanded. I don't think Cooper's playing. I think Lamb was questionable. I do believe Lamb will play in this one. It's going to be interesting to see because that Raiders defense hasn't been horrible, though. I'm just saying, like, the Raiders haven't been horrible. They really haven't. Like, clearly, they don't look nearly what they look like to start the year, but they're capable of staying in these games, and they're capable of limiting offenses. They are. We've seen it this season, but look, am I saying that that's what's going to happen today? No, but it's a possibility. That's for sure. The Raiders are 4-6 against the spread. Over under for both these teams is 5-5. The Raiders are 2-2 away from home. Dallas is 4-1 at home. You know, the AC is going to be set at 66 in the dome.
Here's the thing with the Raiders, right? They clearly miss Henry Ruggs. Derek Carr has turned into a dink and dunk quarterback, and they cannot move the football, and they cannot score.
You're right on that. Josh Jacobs has been a really big part of that passing game, and he was not earlier. So if you're looking at props there, I do like a Jacobs prop because especially against this Dallas team that can get after the quarterback, you need those quick little dump offs. Jacobs receptions, we'll see what it's at, but I do like that one, Chad.
There's a reason why all three of these games, the total has dropped from where it opened. And Cowboys Raiders is down to 51.5, right? You mentioned the Cowboys injuries. The Raiders offense is completely lost now. They cannot score. But let's not pretend that Cowboys are all that right now either. Three of their last four,
right?
20, 16, and 9 points. They blew out the Falcons after they were embarrassed by the Broncos in that 43-3 whitewashing of Atlanta. But when they went to Minnesota, again, Dak didn't play. They only had 20 points in that game. And then the Broncos kicked their butt, and they only had 16 and only 9 against the Chiefs. So a banged-up receiving core for the Cowboys, I don't expect them to go out necessarily and light it up. So there's a legitimate reason why these totals have all come down this week.
You know what's interesting in this game? I think Tony Pollard will be a factor in today's game. I do. They've been using him. He's probably the best backup running back in the league. That might be the best 1-2 punch right now in the league, maybe outside of what Denver has.
And Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
MVP, by the way, Jonathan Taylor. MVP of the league.
Not a ton I love about this game in general. I would stay away from that over-under. Public is all over the over. I mean, I would probably play under if I'm going to play that, to be honest with you. I mean, Dallas hasn't scored a lot lately. They're banged up. The Raiders haven't scored. The one thing that the argument you can make is that Dallas's linebacking core is not elite. And that is probably the biggest weakness on that defense. And Darren Waller is clearly the best player on that entire football team for Vegas. And so I think you could see a heavy dose of Darren Waller today. They have very much so struggled to get him involved as a serious part of the game plan this year, which is really unacceptable with talent like that. It really is. You've got to find a way to get him involved. So, look, I mean, I would play the under there. I'm going to fade the public on that one. I'll go under 51.5. And you know what? It's Thanksgiving. It's in Dallas. God, I just wouldn't play the 7.5. If I didn't have the hook, I'd probably lay Dallas minus the 7 if I had to.
If you're going to do that, it's you, Matt, or anyone out there listening, I don't know how much you buy into trends, that being that the NFL is a week-to-week league, much less a year-to-year league. The Cowboys are 2-10 against the number on Thanksgiving in their last 12.
And look, whenever the Cowboys in the last 10 years have been in on the big stage, they have crumbled. So let's see. I can't stand that franchise. I'd be happy to stay and play with Vegas, but at the same time, given their form, I just don't know how you can. I mean, they don't have anybody outside catcher. Hunter Renfro, Brian Edwards, but that's it. I mean, that's it. And they're going up against Trayvon Diggs. So that is that game. Like I said, you know, I'd probably take the under there, but really nothing else. I don't really love anything else today in that game. I mean, you know, Tony Pollard, I think you could look at possibly over 10 rush attempts. I like him to get involved. I think a touchdown score, maybe anytime touchdown, Tony Pollard plus 175 is an interesting play as well. Zeke is at minus 190 to get in the end zone, which is pretty crazy. The evening game is Bills at Saints, and this was at 4, which if you jumped all over that when it opened, good for you, because Buffalo is covering that game. It is now at 6.5.
You sure?
I do. I am. I think Buffalo's getting back.
I mean, Alvin Kamara's out for the Saints. That's why I think in part why the line moved. But
it's a good defense, and the Bills certainly have not looked good.
The Bills are bullies. Look, I'm tired of hearing about the Buffalo Bills, and I get Bills Mafia, and I saw the pictures on Bourbon Street with all the jerseys yesterday, and everybody invading there for Thanksgiving on their holiday, because why would you want to stay in Buffalo when you can go to New Orleans? I understand that they're going to have a lot of fan support, and it's Trevor Siemian, who was down what, like 33-6 last week to the Eagles or something before the offense did anything. I'm certainly not rushing to back New Orleans here, but stop telling me about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They're bullies. Teams that suck, they absolutely hammer. But when they get punched in the mouth, they got no response.
And they don't run the football at all. At all. It's pretty crazy. And I think this year it's finally starting to catch up to them. I really do. I think that this is a team that has ignored that aspect and has gotten away on, you know, kind of bought time and gotten away with Josh Allen making plays with his legs. And certainly you can do that when you got a talent like Josh Allen. But I think it's really starting to bite him now. I think it's really starting to bite him. The public, it's interesting. The public is all over the Bills, 61% to 39%. Injuries wise, you know, look, I mean, there's, like you said, Alvin Kamara. So Tony Jones and Mark Ingram. Now, Ingram was questionable. And I have not seen an update. He has a knee injury, and I have not seen an update, but that was a short week. So Ty Montgomery, Tony Jones. If you're doing daily fantasy, I think Tony Jones Jr. would be an interesting flyer to look at, too, actually. I do. In this game, outside of that, gosh, I really don't love a lot in the NFL today. I really don't. Vegas knows.
Tough,
you know, Vegas knows at this point. See, that's what I always tell people. When you're playing NFL games, the first 4 to 5 weeks, even up to week 6 or so, are the time to strike. Like that's
it's the same
time
with college football.
Right. It's the same with any sport if you do your homework, truthfully. But in the NFL specifically, boy, by week 7, Vegas knows. Vegas has it. Like you just don't see a ton of deviation from the spread. You just don't. Not overall. You'll see a few. You'll see a couple. But not a lot. What's really interesting, I'm in a confidence picks pool this year. I've never done this before, where you assign each game a value, you know, 1 through 15 based upon the number of games that week. Boy, I tell you what, this is going to be a tough week because these three games, to me, are kind of a bit of a crapshoot in some of these. I mean, they are. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's short weeks. You know, you're dealing with injuries. Everybody's on national television, so everybody's going to come to play. Everybody wants to bite that turkey leg after the game, right, Chad?
Yeah, right, on TV, right? Is it John Madden that started that? Was it the Madden and Summerall
that started
the turkey legs on TV?
John, boy, I was listening to an old – I was watching some old highlights the other day. Pat Summerall was – that was – I mean, you hear that voice, and that's synonymous with the NFL. That's – you know what I mean? Like, that was a great team. I'm glad he's gone now, but he was fun while it lasted. What'll be interesting to see, okay, so that's the NFL. Obviously, the Rapids are big favorites at home today over the Timbers. And we will see if what Steven thinks. We'll get his thoughts. We're going to be talking to Steven Keel, former Rapids defender here, coming up shortly. Get a little preview of the Rapids-Timbers game. College basketball is also on today. It's going to be interesting to see. There's the premier matchups, for all intents and purposes, occurred yesterday. You know, Texas was playing. Memphis was playing yesterday, and Emmony Bates only went 2 for 10 from the field. Today on Thanksgiving Day, UConn and Michigan State this morning. UConn is playing well. Michigan State squeaked out a 2-point win yesterday. UConn is a 2-point favorite in that game in the Bahamas. Honestly, I'd probably rock with the Huskies in that one, to be completely honest. I don't dislike that. In the Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis, down in the Bahamas, that's a 10 a.m. If you were, I would rather play that game than I would rather play Bears Lions, quite frankly.
I'd rather watch that game.
Right,
than
yeah, for
Bears
sure.
Bears Lions.
KU is on. KU is playing today too, 12:30.
Against my alma mater.
Is that you went to North Texas?
I went to UNT.
Is that right? Did you enjoy it down there? Where is North Texas? What city?
Texas.
Is that right? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, how's their basketball team this year?
Good.
Any clue?
They're good.
They're 2-1 on the
yeah,
year.
They're good.
Don't know enough about North Texas to even have any sort of interest. Baylor
Grant
is
McCaslin
also,
is a good coach.
Baylor's also in action today against VCU. USC is playing today. They're the night game at 7:30 against St. Joe's. And some of these preseason tournaments, it's interesting. I really don't love a lot on the Thanksgiving board if you didn't wake up early enough to get the Russian hockey this morning. Then I wasn't a big fan of a ton today on the slate. It will be interesting. So who do you have in these football games? So that's what I'm most curious about. Who are you taking? Like if you had to, who are you taking in these football games? Bears, Lions, that's at 3. Who do you got? First reaction, go.
Bears.
I would take the Bears. Just on the simple fact of Andy Dalton playing.
My heart says Bears, but my head says it's a big DeAndre Swift afternoon. And Dan Campbell finds a way. Because what I really want, that's what I want on Thanksgiving, is Dan Campbell ripping into that turkey leg at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon right on television. That guy, I bet he can do some work at Thanksgiving dinner. He is a guy that, you know, you just don't want to have to feed or cook for at Thanksgiving dinner. Because that's a lot of food, don't you think so?
Ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Lions Bears game is perfect today. They say turkey makes you sleepy, so you eat, turn on the game, and then sleep through it, says Noco Dan. It's a 10:30 start, though. That's too early for the turkey, man.
Okay, so you're rocking Bears, and honestly, I'll take the Lions there. I think have a little bit of action there. Have some excitement. Yeah, root for something. Root for a winless team to get a win. Find something there. Okay.
Root
afternoon.
For the running backs, root for the under.
Afternoon,
that's
Raiders.
I would go with.
Raiders, Cowboys.
Raiders are awful. Raiders are going to win one more game the rest of the year. Cowboys are going to win. They'll probably pull away late in this one. I hope they're scoring. I hope Derek Carr, after saying it's all on me for the 3 straight losses, actually does something about it and throws the ball down the field. So there's at least explosive plays one way or another. But no, the Raiders are trash, right? The Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders. I've talked myself into the Raiders.
Maybe they cover 7 in a hook, but they ain't winning.
No,
I can tell you that.
That's true. That's true. But the 2-10 on Thanksgiving Day for Dallas, although Dallas needs this game badly, badly. So if I'm going to have to play, I'd take the Raiders with the hook. I would have to have the hook there to have that game. And then the night game, now that it's 6.5, do you think Buffalo can finally show up? Is Buffalo done?
They're not done by any means. But, I mean, they're well, I guess the Patriots can still win that division. I'm not going to say they're done, but I will say they're posers. They're fugazi.
Is that right?
Stop with your Buffalo Bills as Super Bowl contenders. They're not, right? And stop with the Josh Allen love after a great year last year. He's nothing special. Right? This team is nothing special. They don't run the football. They're nothing great.
I'll tell you why I've got Buffalo here. is because the New England Patriots are now 7-4, and Bill Belichick winning, what, 5 in a row, has now come up and taken the lead overall in the AFC East once again. If you are Buffalo, you got to start letting the air out of the tires. And so I'd rock with the Bills tonight. I'd rock with the Bills tonight. Plus, how can you back Trevor Siemian? Like, is that something?
They were bad last week.
Is that something you're really interested in doing? Like, I don't understand why you'd be interested in throwing your support there behind Trevor Siemian.
No, it's not that I'm supporting Trevor in New Orleans. It's just that I'm sick and tired of Buffalo. I'm tired of hearing about him. Right, I'm tired of hearing about Bill's Mafia. I'm tired of hearing about Josh Allen and all of the how he's developed and how great they are. Like, they won a big game in Kansas City when Kansas City wasn't right, and give them credit for that. And they're a decent team, but I don't think they're great by any means. So I'm sick of the Bills more than anything else. Right?
You know what just popped up here on the old timeline this morning is a little bit of a pilgrim caricature. Just of a pilgrim, obviously, this being Thanksgiving. You ever realize they're wearing belts on their heads? Like, it's a belt they're wearing on their head because they couldn't keep a hat on, obviously. That's a belt. Like, you're putting a belt around your scalp.
Yeah, tighten it. That's my suggestion.
Let me ask you this. This is a big debate here, is the pumpkin pie debate. Are you a pumpkin pie guy? Now that we're on the theme of Thanksgiving for a second.
As far as all things pumpkin go.
What about all things pie? See, that's really the question. All things pumpkin nothing's better than pumpkin pie if you have to go with pumpkin. Unless you're
correct.
A pumpkin spice basic.
Correct. Pie is the best of the pumpkin options because the rest of them are pretty much garbage. I'm not.
You're not a pumpkin spice guy?
No. I'm not. All of the pumpkin flavored everything.
Ty, are you a pumpkin spice guy?
I ain't basic.
Yeah.
I don't mind pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie is decent.
I'm a pumpkin pie guy. Give me a piece of pumpkin pie. I'll take it.
I did pick up a pumpkin pie yesterday for today. Now, the problem I have with that is I don't have a turkey.
Oh man, that is true.
So if you're just tuning in today, Omaha, my Thanksgiving plans audibled. supposed to go to the in-laws up in Fort Collins, but my mother-in-law is not feeling well, so she's going to call that off and not risk anyone's exposure in case she does potentially have something that could be contagious, COVID or otherwise. So wise decision there. Hope she gets to feeling better. But I had gone to Fort Collins to do some games at CSU this weekend, and I had taken the turkey and a pie up there already to her house so it could be prepared on time.
Trying to be proactive.
When everybody got there.
I see what you're doing.
But now we're not going.
Ugh.
So what the hell am I supposed to do today for Thanksgiving dinner? Please, suggestions, welcome on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I don't know what I'm going to eat.
Back of the freezer, just take a spoon and just get some snow cones in the back of the freezer. Just dig yourself off some shavings because that pumpkin pie is gone, my friend. You're not having pumpkin pie this year, Chad.
We've got other options for food, but it's not a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, but see, I'm more in the boat of no turkey. I'm not a turkey guy. I don't want anything to do with it. I really don't. So I'd rather take anything else.
But the problem is you don't have a main entree. That's the problem. I can come up with sides. We can make things that are in the house or in the pantry or whatever the case may be in the freezer outside. But there's no main entree.
No.
Some ribs I can smoke.
Hey now. By the way, it's Thanksgiving. And you know what that means. It's time for everybody's favorite Thanksgiving anthem. Which is probably one of the greatest songs that's been ever written and ever will be written. And it is a gem.
With the cranberry jelly.
Yeah, I'm not getting any of that today.
No. No thanks. Keep that turkey away from my belly.
Text line suggestion is drink alcohol. All capital alcohol.
There's your entree.
Head to the steakhouse, another suggestion as well. Thank you. Keep the suggestions coming. I want some good options here because, look, I don't have a restaurant reservation, so going out is not an option. I am
table for two at Wendy's.
I'm not real crazy about going to the grocery store and having to fight with everybody who's sent out on a last-minute errand to pick up what they forgot either. Okay? So give me some suggestions what we can whip up at the Casa today. You know, I do have a smoker, so it's got to be something that can be smoked, you know, within 3-4 hours. It can't be like, a 10-hour brisket or something like that. So give me some options, right? 303-713-1043 on the RamosLaw.com text line. Chad Andrus, Matt Smith in for Mike and Mark today on The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.